Well, now, understand, you and I think we are so sophisticated that we wouldn't think that. How many of you have seen somebody walking on the water lately? How many of you have ever seen anybody walk on the water? Now, besides the frozen ones out here. You see, these men had never seen a human being walk on the water before. And in the middle of the night, about 3 to 4 a.m., they find somebody not only walking on the water, but walking past them like he's going to keep going. And they begin to cry out in fear. It was an omen to them, because as sailors, when they saw something like this, the immediate thought was, disaster is about to strike. Now, they may be good swimmers. And one of the jobs as a sailor was, you better know how to swim. But when they saw an individual walking on the water, they were shaking down to their boots. That's not in the original Greek, but that's close enough, okay? They were literally frightened. Have you ever been in a situation where you were just really scared? Now, none of us like to admit it. None of us like to admit we've ever been frightened before. I mean, just really scared. Whether it's watching a horror movie or just something take place in the middle of the night. I have a sister who loves to sleepwalk. Now, living out in the country in East Texas, we didn't have your security lights out here, okay? It's pitch dark. Well, I had been to a movie, and it was a scary movie, so I was a little scared to begin with, and as I sat in the covers that night, trying my best to count sheep and go to sleep, somewhere about 2 a.m. that morning, you ever get one of those cold chills? Like somebody's watching you? My eyes were shut. I had the cover up to my chin, because I hadn't learned to put it over my head yet. And as I lay there, I just knew something was wrong. I could feel it. It was just running up and down my spine, those cold chills. I opened one eye just to check to make sure, and that was my first mistake. My baby sister, my only sister, probably about 6, 7 years old, had been sleepwalking, came into my room, and was leaning over, looking at me about 6 inches from my face. When the Bible says they were frightened, they don't know what they were talking about. I lost 9 lives that night, if I'd have had 9. I screamed to the top of my lungs, "Cindy!" She didn't flinch. I know you're not supposed to disturb these people when they're sleepwalking. I was ready to belt her. I looked up at her and I said, "Would you go back to bed?" She stood up straight and said, "Okay." Walked back to bed, never remembered it the next morning. I have never been so frightened in all my life. I slept with the covers over my head for the rest of the night. I can understand when the disciples have seen something they've never seen before and they're afraid. They're fearful, aren't they? But Jesus calms their fears, or attempts to, in verse 27 by saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Listen to me. One of the ways we can transform fear into faith is by hearing from Jesus. And how do we hear from him? From the Word of God. It's not enough to study the Word of God. We got to hear from the Word of God about our lives. Jesus spoke to the disciples that night the very words of God, and spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I." In the midst of the storm of your life, Jesus wants to speak to your situation and to your life through the Word of God and say, "Take courage, it is I." And we must learn to listen and to hear the Word of God. You know, there are a lot of people who can quote me Scripture. I had one man in the last church we were in. He was not a member. Well, he may have been a member. I don't know. Everybody thought he was a little strange. And I have to admit, he was different. But he could quote me the entire chapter of John 15. Not a short chapter. And in the King James on top of that. It's amazing, though, that he never really applied what he had committed to memory. It's not enough to study the Word of God to be familiar with what it says. We have to really hear it. When Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I," what does that mean? It means take courage. He He's promised to walk with you through the storms of life. The Holy Spirit has been given to you, if you're a Christian, to dwell in you, to speak to you, and say, take courage. I'm with you. Of course, we look at the life of the disciples, and we see in the midst of their storm, Jesus says, take courage, it is I, gentlemen, I'm here. Now, what would have been your first reaction sitting in that boat, watching the waves toss and turn your boat around and throwing water up in there, and you've got three rowing, you've got three over here bailing out water, and somebody walks up beside the boat and says, take courage, it is I. What's your first thought? What's your first reaction? You really think it's him? There was some doubt, as you can tell. Look in verse 28 with me. And I love it. Who's the first person to speak up? Good old Peter. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is really you, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Nothing like putting the Lord to the test, right? Lord, if you're really speaking to me, and Jesus, if it's really you, I want to come and join you out there on the water, because this boat's not a safe place. It's going down, and I want to be out there where you're at, because it looks a whole lot better than where I'm at right now, right? Well, Jesus replies with one word, come. Peter, if you can get your foot out of your mouth long enough, just put both feet in the water and join me. And he walks out there. Let me tell you, nowhere do we find in Scripture any other human being walking on water than Peter. Jesus walked on water. He was the Son of God. You find Elijah, Moses, and the others, and they did what? They split the water and walked through. But Peter walked on water. We don't know how long he walked on the water. We know he got out of that boat and he began to walk. Can you just see Peter? He's so proud of himself. He's out there. He took that first step in the water. Hey, I made it. Second step. It's pretty good. I think I can handle this. About that time, he looks out the corner of his eye, and there's an 8-foot wave coming up around him. What's his first thought? I forgot my waders. I forgot my life jacket. You know what happens, don't you? It says that he began to sink. We know that he's begun to walk in the water with Jesus, and that Jesus said, come on out, Peter, it's okay. Walk out here to me. But what happens? He just begins to look around at the waves. He begins to look at the wind. And his faith turned into what? Fear. And he began to doubt. And he took his eyes off the one who had called him to walk on the water with him, and he looked at his circumstances around him, and he began to sink. When you and I take our eyes off Jesus Christ, who has called us to walk after him, I promise you, if we turn our eyes and put them on circumstances and the waves and the winds and the storms of life, I tell you what's going to happen to us. Our faith turns into fear, and we begin to sink. All Peter had to do was put his eyes back on Jesus. But he wouldn't. He didn't. And he began to sink. Now, have you ever thought about this? Did Peter swim? I mean, we don't know. It doesn't say in Scripture, does it? I know he's a fisherman. I know he likes boats. I sure hope he can swim. But in the water, when he begins to sink, even if he can swim, what does he do? He cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, save me. Even if he knows how to swim and tread water so he can get back to the boat, what does he do? Scripture says, he says, Lord, save me. You see, it's not enough that Peter knows how to swim or tread water or even get back to the boat. Embarrassment. Because he failed. He looks to Christ as he begins to sink and says, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretches out his hand and picks him up. And you know what? They walk back to the boat and they get in the boat. Can you imagine? Right in the midst of what must seem like utter despair to Peter as he begins to sink, I have failed the Lord. I've taken my eyes off him. You see the fingers going up. I'm going down once. I'm going down twice. The Lord reaches down and picks him up says, why did you doubt? Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you let your faith turn to fear? If you'd have just trusted me. Jesus picked Peter up by the hand and they walked back to the boat together. Let me ask you something, though. Was Peter a failure? Most of us like to pick on Peter. You know what I find interesting, though? When Jesus said, come, what did Peter do? He went. When Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. I'll tell you who the failure was. Plural. The guy sitting in the boat. Peter got out and walked on the water. Went to Jesus. You had how many other disciples? 11? Sitting in a boat? Hey, the boat's a safe place. I'm comfortable in the boat. I don't care if it is being tossed around. The idea of getting out of a perfectly safe boat to go walk on the water has got to be a stupid idea, Peter. If you think that's Jesus, go for it. Right? We can turn our fear into faith when we hear the Word of God and then we act on it and we obey it. We have to study it, hear it, and then obey it. The failures were those who stayed in the boat because it was comfortable. You know what it represented? It was their comfort zone. You know, I've been in this boat all my life. My daddy helped me build this boat. I know every plank in this boat. I know where every nail is in this boat. I'm comfortable here. But you know what? Jesus many times asked us to get out of the boat, out of our comfort zones. Now, he doesn't ask us foolishly to jump out of the boat. You notice Peter went only when Jesus said, come. And he was obedient to him. You and I need to learn that we have comfort zones that we live in. There's nothing wrong with that. You and I are comfortable with certain patterns of speech, whether you say you guys or y'all. Okay? It makes it tough on my email when I'm getting letters from down south trying to translate once again because they don't understand when I say you guys what I'm referring to. But we're comfortable in our patterns of speech, aren't we? We're comfortable with the way we worship. We're comfortable with our pews that are padded. Do you remember the days when these weren't padded? Any of you? I grew up in East Texas where pews were never padded. It was hot. We didn't have fans. We didn't even have air conditioning. You don't need air conditioning here. We needed air conditioning. They had those funeral fans. You know what I'm talking about? Some reason that was never a good sign to me to sit in a church. It's hotter than blazes in July in a Baptist church, and I got a funeral fan advertising the funeral home. Somebody's going to be visiting real soon, I can tell. We've gotten so comfortable in our Christianity. I remember the days watching my uncle as a young child as he preached and sweat up there in that pulpit. And as it, you know, the heat, there's no air conditioning, we couldn't even get a breeze. I watched him on one occasion, actually as he was preaching, and you know how preachers get to go in and they start spitting? You know, that's why we sat about 3 or 4 pews back. But you know, he'd get to going, boy, he was just preaching his heart out, and you know, that saliva would just start spitting. Well, a fly ventured by. You know what I'm going to tell you? He said, thus saith the Lord, and in it went. And he never missed a beat. Kept on preaching. That's out of my comfort zone. I would be pretending that fly is Jonah and he'd be coming up real quick. What is your comfort zone, though, here? What have we developed in our lives that has become so comfortable that we are unwilling to step out of and trust God with? Jesus said to Peter, come. And he stepped out of his comfort zone, that boat that he knew so well, and he trusted Jesus. He was not the failure. Yes, he did sink. He took his eyes off Jesus. In your life and in my life and in the life of the church, when we take our eyes off Christ, we sink. But he's ready to stretch a hand out and pick us back up and say, let's try that water walking lesson again. And they did together. We have developed so many comfort zones in our lives and in the life of the church, though, that I'm afraid if Jesus said, come, we'd say, well, Lord, could you pull the boat over a little closer? I'm not just quite ready to step out of the boat yet. We can't turn our fear into faith, though, unless we study the Word of God, hear it, obey it, and like the disciples, believe it. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's Son. You are the Son of God. We must understand that our faith doesn't come through positive thinking, positive confession, or any other positive in our life. It comes through an individual called Jesus Christ. Church, we cannot walk into the future turning our fear into faith by putting it in an individual, even your pastor. It must be put in a person called Jesus. And when Jesus calls us as individuals and as the body of Christ to step out of our comfort zones, we better do it. Let me ask you. Now, this is hypothetical, and you can argue with me, and we can argue or discuss together. That's a better word. But what would have happened if Peter had never stepped out of the boat? Well, Jesus might not have stepped into the boat. If Peter hadn't stepped out to go meet with Jesus, Jesus might not have stepped into the boat, and the winds and the waves might not have ever stopped. And they would have been facing this dilemma. I'm trying to warn you, and to tell you, and to encourage you, and say, listen, when Jesus tells us to step out of our comfort zone, it's time. But we don't do it foolhardily. We listen to the Word of God, we study it, and when He says, do it, what do? Like the old commercial says, just do it. You trust Him. We must believe He is who He is. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm not asking you to put your faith in me. Far be it. I'm not asking you to put your faith in any individual in this church. But I am asking you to put your faith in the head of the church, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He will never fail you. He will walk with you in the storms of life. He will meet with you and He'll turn your fear into faith. This morning there are some of you here who are walking without Christ who have never known Him. And you face so many storms in life and you don't know how you're going to make it. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ stands ready in the midst of your storm to help you by turning your fear into faith. If you'll take His hand, you'll walk with Him. Christian, I'm telling you, you're here this morning listening and you know the Word of God, you've heard the Word of God, but a lot of times we don't obey it. And when Jesus says, come, what do we say? Not today. You know, Lord, we got a few other things we need to do. Lord, I'm not too comfortable with stepping out of the boat. Maybe this morning Jesus is asking you to step out of your comfort zone to follow Him. As a church, maybe He is calling us as a church to look at our comfort zones and say, are we willing to step out when He calls? Now, I'm not saying abandon ship and everybody jump out of the boat. But I'm saying when Jesus says come, we'd better. Let us pray. Father, we come to You this morning having heard the Word of God, studying it together, but coming to that crucial point in our lives where we know we need to be obedient to it. Father, there are some here this morning who have never put their faith and trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts about trusting Him and allowing Him to turn their fear into faith. Father, I pray for those who are here this morning who are visiting with us, those who are here, Father, that have heard Your Word, that if they're facing a trial or a storm in their life, that they might understand that their fear can be turned into faith by putting their eyes on Jesus and not the circumstances around them. Father, I pray for all of us this morning who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we would not become so comfortable sitting in our comfort zones, but that we'd be ready, when You call, to step out by faith and follow You. Father, we know there is no other way except to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to believe He is who He says He is, the Son of God, and that He can provide for our every need, individually, and as the body of Christ. Thank You for making Jesus the head of the body. and the head of the church. We would never try to supplant him, Father, or become that head ourselves. We want to hear from the head today and be obedient and go where he would ask us to go. Father, we ask that you speak to us in this very moment so that our worship might be complete as we are obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.